Going to teach you some Dutch now, Chris.
Exciting.
And I think that you will be able to understand this without any explanation whatsoever. This is a quote from Chantal Jansen, who's one of the presenters for this year's Eurovision Song Contest in Rotterdam. And this is in Dutch. See if you can work out what she's saying.
All right.
Holy shit, ik ga het song festival doen.
No idea. So thanks very much for that, Martin, that excellent Dutch. We will be talking, of course, about the Eurovision presenters, which have been announced just shortly. Welcome to Nul Poir, though. This is our Eurovision fan podcast. I'm Laura.
And I'm Martin. And there is much to talk about this week.
There is.
A lot, in fact.
Indeed. And I suppose the most exciting news we should come out with is that the tickets, the date for the tickets going on sale for Rotterdam 2020 has been announced. It's on the 12th of December, and I can't think of anything else going on that day. Can you, Martin?
No, certainly not in the UK. I don't think there's any big things that really need to be discussed going on at that point.
Very quiet.
Very quiet indeed. If you don't happen to be in the middle of political turmoil, then you might just want to book yourself the tickets. And the way they're doing it is they're, well, they're going to be in three waves. This is the first of three waves. As usual, they have the three different types of ticket that you can go to. You can either go to the jury show, the family show, or the live show. And they do that for the semi-finals and for the finals. On the prices, they do vary. Mm. The cheapest you can go for is a limited view seat at the jury show, which comes in at €28.50. But then that goes all the way up to the grand final. The most expensive ticket, which is in their first tier, is €248.50. So quite a big price difference there.
Yes, or I think even the family show is even slightly cheaper, but I guess that's if you're going as a group. So that's how you could get your real discounts if you go at the family show, which is even cheaper than the jury show.
Yeah, I see. I mean, they are, we talked last year when we went to Israel about the fact that the tickets were really, really expensive because they weren't being subsidised by the government, which they had been in the past. And I had assumed that the tickets this year would be going back down to what they used to be. And I think they're kind of somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I would say I was expecting cheaper, to be honest, Martin, as was my bank account. looking at the semi-finals, as you say, I've got it in euros here, but, you know, it won't be too much less in pounds. But, you know, semi-finals are about, you know, 158 if you're going for the seated first tier, or 118, 120 for the second, so that's even further away from the stage. I'm trying to think back what we've paid in the past for sort of semi-finals. I feel like it was probably maybe about 80 quid about.
Yeah, it was about that, I think.
So this is,
I think it was about that.
A little bit of a leap up, but I wonder if that's just because it's just an expensive venue. I don't know, really, because as you say, with Tel Aviv, it was very much, it was a smaller venue, so there, and it wasn't being subsidised, so that was part of the problem. And we, obviously, because of that expense, actually didn't end up going to any of the finals, which did prove tricky when we were leaving the country and were trying to prove that we had been there for Eurovision, because we hadn't been to any of the finals. And we were even told that the tickets weren't that expensive.
Yes.
But there you go.
We were told that by the Israeli officials, and we politely disagreed with them.
Yes, but not too strongly.
No, because they all had guns, didn't they?
So, yes.
They very much were ready to win that argument, I think.
That's another anecdote for another time.
Yes.
But yes, I mean, obviously, we still will be getting tickets. It's interesting just how the price varies for each show, really, because of it being a different place and a different venue. It would be nice if they went down a little bit, but hey, you know, it is still a good night. You do get to see a lot when you're there,
you
even
do.
For the semi-finals.
And I do wonder whether they've latched onto that, really, and they've maybe started thinking, this is a great way to make money. People do actually want to come to this thing and watch it live in the arena. We should stop almost giving the tickets away and actually start to make a bit of money on it.
Yeah, so if people could just start not enjoying it as much, then
yes,
that would be great.
If you could all hate it, that would be great.
Please.
Thank you very very much indeed.
Good.
Now, if you do happen to go, there's some news about what you might be seeing.
Yes.
We've talked about this already, which is the presenters have been announced for this year.
They have indeed. So we have, I'm going to try and, I think they're fairly easy to pronounce. We've got Chantal Janssen, Edcilia Rombly.
Great, well done.
And thank you. And Jan Smit. That's an easy one. Good old Jan Smit.
Yes. And I think this is really good, actually. I still have a bit of an issue with they always have to have about a million presenters.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure, I don't really know a great deal about television presenting, but I'm pretty sure that you could do the whole thing with one person. I get why you might have two, so you could have one in one location and one in another. But three? Really? Why do you need three?
Well, I'm going to say, Martin, I mean, you obviously need one person to flap about in the green room and not pick up the cues properly and sort of cut off all the singers in an awkward fashion. So you need one presenter to be doing all of that.
Yes, you do.
And then I guess you need two to sort of awkwardly make jokes with each
other. Yes, and pretend that they fall in love with each other, of course.
Yes, yes. So who do you think Jan's going to be falling in love with? Or is it going to be very modern? You know, open up, maybe Edcilia and Chantal will fall in love.
Well, I actually think that is more likely because, just because there's a bit of an age
poor Jan.
So Jan is 33 and then Edcilia and Chantal are, I think, 40 and 41. Or maybe 41 and 40, can't remember which way around it is. So, if Jan likes the slightly older lady, then maybe that storyline will play itself out. To be honest, I don't think we're going to see that from the Dutch. I don't think we're going to see the kind of cliche presenters pretend to like each other. I think we might be starting to move on from that. Didn't it come to a head in... was it Ukraine? Pretty sure it was Ukraine, where they had the strap line, which was something like celebrating diversity, and it was three white men.
Yes, yes. That was pretty funny, wasn't it? Yeah, I agree. And I also think the Dutch sense of humour is quite similar to the sort of UK, you know, English sense of humour. It's quite dry, quite sarcastic, quite, you know... quite willing to sort of make fun, a bit like the Swedes, because remember, I think I have to, if we're looking back at some of the most recent presenters, I've got to say my favorites are Måns and Petra from 2016.
I love Petra.
Petra
is she's my favorite. If I had anything to do with it, she'd just present it every year.
I know, why can't we just and Måns, come on, for the ladies, let's have a bit of Måns.
Yeah, okay,
it was good.
Come
as
on,
well,
for the ladies,
come on, Martin. Yeah, but I mean, I just think they were excellent. They, you know, they did everything with a bit of a sort of tongue-in-cheek, knowing wink. They knew what they were doing, but they also brought the passion to it. And they were just, I mean, I think that was, it was 2016, wasn't it? They did it in Stockholm. And remember, they did that amazing Love, Love, Peace, Peace performance as well, which just ripped Eurovision to shreds, but in a loving way. And it was just hilarious. Definitely my favorite. I mean, obviously, I guess if we're going to go for like the 1990s, I suppose we'd have to pick Terry Wogan and Ulrika Johnson, but
of course.
But I think for the noughties, my favourites have got to be that Måns and Petra.
Didn't Ronan Keating present it one year?
Yes, I think he did. Yeah, I don't think just on his own though. That would have been
no, not just on his own, but I think he did present it one year. And just to tell you a little bit about the three of them, they're all singers and have been singers in some shape or form in their past careers. So Edcilia, for example, was the winner of a Dutch talent show called Sound Mix Show. And then later she won the European Sound Mix Show. So well done to her. So she's got experience in these sort of talent competitions. And
she also represented, Jan Smit, I was going to say, sorry, she also represented the Netherlands at the Eurovision Song Contest.
Oh, did she? That bit of information has passed me by.
I was going to say, Martin, probably mention that bit. Poor old Dead Celia is there going, what about this? Mention this. She finished fourth.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Jan Smit.
Please, please.
He is, and this is the list of what he does. He's a Dutch singer, okay. Huh? He's a television host, okay.
Cool.
He's an actor, and he's a football director as well.
Oh, okay. Jan, you're very busy.
Yeah, he's very busy. And he sings in a genre known as Volendam music. Ooh. Ever heard of Volendam?
No. And what is that, then?
Don't know,
it's Volendam music. Sorry, yes, yes. Oh, but he, isn't that a place? Because he grew up in Volendam.
Oh, music of the streets.
Yeah, I don't. When you say it like that, it makes it. It's not like he grew up in Compton and he's, you know, he's part of the Bloods and the Crips or something. I don't think it's the same thing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'm pretty happy with the three of them. I think they're going to make a good team, and they certainly have the credentials to be doing it. They seem to know that they can empathise certainly with the people who are on stage.
Yes, let's see it all go horribly wrong.
Oh, yes, that's what we live for.
Yes, that's what we want. That's what we don't want. It, unless it's Marnes and Petrol, we don't want it done professionally, do we? No. We want the awkward pauses, the weird in jokes that don't make sense.
That is proper Eurovision. Okay, there's some countries that have announced who are going to be representing them. So there's just a couple to go through here.
That's right. So we've got Cyprus, who's going to be represented by Sandro in Rotterdam.
Now, were you able to find anything out about Sandro? Because I could not.
I have got a lovely picture of Sandro here.
Oh, yeah.
At a piano. He's kind of not looking at the camera. He's sort of looking... I don't know who he's looking at. He seems sort of lost in a moment. Like maybe he's just thought, did I leave the oven on? And he's thinking that at a piano. He's got a hat on.
He's, yeah, I was going to say he's a very prolific hat wearer. Mm.
So that's what we know about Sandro. He wears a lot of hats.
That's literally all we can tell you. That they haven't announced the song that he's doing. They haven't really announced anything about Sandro. We
just
don't really know. All we've got to go on is this picture. So we don't even know if it's just that one guy or whether he's part of some sort of group. We don't really know anything.
I think it's just him. But yeah, as you say, all we know about him, he's obviously a piano player, likes to wear hats, seems to sort of get lost in the moment and, you know, maybe think, God, did I lock the door?
Yeah. That's the guy.
That's the guy.
That's the guy. The other one to tell you about is Bulgaria, who have announced Victoria, she just goes by her first name, is going to be representing Bulgaria at the Eurovision Song Contest in Rotterdam. And what they've done, the Eurovision here, and because we don't know a huge amount about Victoria and the song that she'll be singing, that they're going to decide that in, they're saying, early March. But I can tell you a little bit because they've provided a sort of introductory video about Victoria.
Lovely.
And I just pulled out a quote that really spoke to me. My neighbourhood is far from the seaside, but the sea always knew how to talk to me.
Oh. Okay.
So she talks to the sea. And the sea talks back. So that's good. That's good.
Good. I wonder...
The waves were always bringing me back. Mm. The sound of the streets were always haunting me.
The sound waves?
Ah. Very clever.
A little audio joke there. What?
Very good. So, yes, that's Victoria. She's completely bonkers by the sounds of things.
Yes, I'm intrigued. I think whenever you say her name, Martin, you should be shouting, because let's not forget it's Victoria.
Sorry, you're
in
right.
Capital letters.
Victoria!
Yes, thank you very much. Did you know she was in the fourth season of X Factor, Bulgaria?
Yes, I did know that. And one of her big hits, actually, and which sounds, and you can tell they picked her because it does sound very sort of typically Eurovision, her big hit so far as a track called I Want to Know, and it is very, very Eurovision.
Oh, lovely. Well, what do we know what she wants to know, or she just wants to know?
Just wants to know some stuff. Got some questions.
Very good. Well, there you go, Victoria.
And she wants to know some things.
Good.
Just before we finish, couple of things to do. I want to say congratulations to Poland on winning the Junior Eurovision Song Contest for another year. It was by far and away the best song. It was really, really good. Very, very impressive. I know we were talking to Ewan in the last episode, Ewan Spence, who was a commentator, radio commentator on the Junior Eurovision Song Contest. And he was telling us that Poland was the one to watch. Mm. And he was very much proved right, wasn't he? Because, brilliant. Vicky Gabor is her name, and she's very, very good indeed. I have no doubt that we will be seeing her in adult Eurovision Song Contests in the future.
I agree. I certainly agree. I mean, I was holding out for Bim Bam Toi, but there you go, Vicky. Well deserved. It was an excellent song, and it did deserve. I mean, so that's two years in a row for Junior Eurovision. They've obviously got something going on. It'll be interesting, as you say, to see if that then shows itself in the sort of adult Eurovision as well. Whether they sort of go into that, I'm sure they will.
I'm sure they will. You have something as well, don't you? That's,
I do, yes. So just a little notice. Recently, the Rotterdam 2020 design was revealed. This is like the logo. We, you know, they like to drip feed these kind of little things. We had the slogan. We had, first of all, you know, the location. Then we had the venue. Then we had the slogan. Now we've got the logo. I don't know if you've seen it, Martin. It is quite a nice design. The idea was it's a sort of abstract representation of all the flag colours of the 41 countries participating in 2020 in the order of their first participation. So it's kind of snippets of flags done in a sort of circle style. It looks a bit like a kind of weird poker chip that's sort of missing various elements.
It looks like a pie chart, doesn't it? Let's be honest.
It looks like a very, pie chart with very detailed parts to it. But I think it's a nice idea. They'll just be explaining that a lot, though, is the only problem on the actual night. Because any regular punters will have no idea what that means. And so each time they'll be like, of course, this design representing the flag colours, just like over and over again. So that's the only problem with that design. It's not very clear. But, you know, thoughtful, a nice bit of thought gone into that. And I look forward to people explaining that over and over during the finale.
Yes, they will definitely have to, won't they? I really like that idea.
You can just hear it now.
Look, it's not just a pie chart, okay? It means something.
It does have meaning.
Right, very good. Well, I think we covered a lot. We did cover a lot of ground there, didn't we?
So we certainly did.
Go and get your tickets on the 12th if you're not voting. And
even if you are.
And even if you are, go and do it anyway. Thank you very much, Cress.
Thank you, Martin.